violation or entry of order in the matter of administrative civil liability against Los Angeles Department of Power and Water for alleged violations at Lee-Lyon Creek diversion structure, Mono County. Please bear with me while I read this statement. This is a time and place for the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Manhattan Region, to consider adopting a settlement agreement and stipulation of entry of order in the matter of an administrative civil liability against Los Angeles Department of Water and Power for alleged violations at Lee-Lyon Creek diversion structure. This is item number 7. To consider adopting this agreement, the board is conducting a hearing as follows. Testimony by Water Board Prosecution Team, testimony by the discharger, presentations by interested persons. All persons who wish to participate and have not submitted an appearance card are requested to do so now, and you must note which agenda item you wish to speak on. This hearing will not be conducted according to the technical rules of evidence. The board will accept any testimony that is reasonably relevant to the matter under consideration. The chair may consider and impose reasonable time limits and may require groups to choose a single spokesperson. We ask each person testifying to come to the lectern to speak. Please begin by stating your name and address and whom you represent. All persons who expect to testify, please stand now and raise your right hand. Read and take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay, so first we will call for testimony from the Water Board Prosecution Team.
Good evening, Chairperson and members of the board. My name is Lori Kemper. I'm the Assistant Executive Officer for the Manhattan Water Board, and I'm Chief of the Prosecution Team. And I'd like to direct your attention to item number 7 in your packet. Tonight, we're going to have a presentation by Scott Ferguson. He's now our division manager. He's our senior chief in charge of our enforcement unit. And I also, following his presentation, then the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power will be making a presentation. And we ask that you reserve your questions until you hear both presentations, and then we're both happy to answer questions you might have. The other thing I wanted to do is introduce all the folks that were involved from the Manhattan Water Board on this effort. And it began with Jan Zimmerman, our project engineering geologist in the Victorville office. She handles permitting and water quality certifications, and she inspected the project. Her supervisor, Patrice Copeland, Mike Plasiak, and then Scott Ferguson is part of our enforcement team who helped with the penalty calculator. And then from the Office of Enforcement, we have my Andy Okamoto and Paul Ciccarelli. So that's our team tonight, and they're all happy to help you answer any questions. Now, I just wanted to have you take a look at, I'm sure you've seen it, is on base deck 7-7, 7-6, and 7-7 is the cover letter that I signed following reaching an agreement with the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. And the prosecution team and the department met on a few occasions, and we are very happy to present the settlement agreement tonight. I encourage you to support it, and that's why we're here tonight, to get you to agree to the settlement agreement. The funds that LA has agreed to provide are going to the Bankman account of the State Water Board. And as you know, we at the region have been lucky recipients of quite a lot of large sums of money to help with the Leviathan Mine cleanup. But more recently, we received $400,000 to do a PCE investigation in the South Y, where due to the drought, we've seen increasing PCE in residential wells as well as community wells, and we're going to be able to fund an investigation there, as well as money that has been provided over the last several years to the two residents in the city of Barstow that have been contaminated by the chlorate. And we're also trying to get some additional funds to do some investigation and cleanup there. So I just wanted to remind you of that, and we feel like this is a good use of these funds. So But that, Scott's going to give you a very brief presentation.
Thank you, Lori. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'll briefly discuss the settlement agreement, or settlement of alleged violations, which the prosecution team and the State of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power have agreed upon. I'll just be making my presentation here, and this will be set off by the department staff, and then we'll open it up for questions. Let's just talk a little bit about where we're talking about. Behind you is this is Lee Mining Creek as it parallels Highway 120, and it's flowing from left to right. You have the community of Lee Mining here, Mono Lake, and then the structure itself, diversion structure, that's the subject of this matter, is right here. So we're about a mile to 2 miles away from the community of Lee Mining. That's what we're talking about. And what is the basis for this settlement agreement is that the prosecution team has alleged that the department violated Water Code Section 13376 and Clean Water Act 301. By discharging fill materials to waters of the U.S. without the appropriate dredge and fill material discharge permit, and in this case, the 401 water quality certification. And we're also alleging that during one day of this such event, that they did exceed receiving water limits for water quality objectives for the mining creek, having to do with turbidity, and this is all outlined in your agenda package. This project, or the project did involve maintenance activities on the Lee-Mining Creek diversion structure. The department was under order from the state board to make some modifications in order to allow more sediment to actually pass through it, replenishing the sediment in the downstream margins of the creek. Prior to this project, sediment would accumulate rather than pass through the structure, and so the basically starving the creek below of sediment. So, in response to these alleged violations, we did contact the department and entered into settlement talks with them, and beginning that process. The prosecution team looked at used the administrative civil liability methodology that is outlined or described in the state board's enforcement policy. We followed those procedures. We came up with an amount of $118,900, a little more than that. And then through settlement process talks and discussions, the two parties came to agreement on a total liability of $95,000. Including a SEP as a component of the settlement was considered. But in the final result, we came up with the cash liability of $95,000 to be put into the state board's payment account. And the prosecution team believes that this is an effective resolution, an effective enforcement action addressing these alleged violations. We think it will deter similar behavior by the department and others in the future. We've already seen a demonstration of this deterrent effect with the department in that, as outlined in the settlement agreement, the Water Board staff and the department are in agreement to work cooperatively to expedite developing a permit that would cover projects like this. Many of the Department's maintenance and construction projects up and down the Sierra and Mountain Valley. And that would then alleviate situations like this where things are done without permits. So we're already working in that vein. That's already committed to in the settlement agreement, and it was taken into consideration in our settlement. Also, as part of that process, we're going to have to go through the CEQA process. And the department has already said that they were willing to take on that lead, CEQA lead role, which will take quite a bit of resources to do. Otherwise, water board staff would be in that role in order to bring in such a permit. So there, we've already seen, looking forward, that we are developing a new relationship, a more cooperative relationship, and this too has gone into deciding that this $95,000 settlement proposal is a very good and effective enforcement action in the resolution of these allegations. So, what are the water board's options? You have several options. You could accept the proposed settlement, as we are encouraging you to do. You could also ask the prosecution team and the department to consider minor changes, and if we were able to agree upon them, if they didn't really change the overall nature of the settlement agreement, that's something that could be resolved here by the board tonight. You could ask the parties, the prosecution team and the department, to take some time, additional time, and work on some more substantial changes to the settlement agreement. And once again, in that case, I would say you're looking for, if the two parties can agree, that there's a possibility of those coming to fruition and being worth taking additional resources to pursue, then we would go work on those and then come back at a later meeting, or you could offer, the PO is already authorized to sign on your behalf also. And then you could also reject the proposed settlement. And in doing so, you could follow that up with either ordering the prosecution team and the department to prepare and return before the board for an adjudicatory hearing where all the evidence would be presented and all the arguments would be presented, and then you would make a decision on what liability to impose. You could also reject the whole idea of imposing any liability and just say to the conclusion that this isn't working in the amount of money. So those are your options. Once again, we're encouraging you to select the first one, and that is to accept the settlement agreement as it is proposed. And that concludes my presentation. I'll turn it over to the department staff at this point.
Good evening.
Oh, it's not on. It's not on.
I'm Michelle Lyman. I'm a deputy city attorney, and I'm here on behalf of the Department of Water and Power. And I had the pleasure of working with your staff and your legal team on this subject. And it's not fun to come here before you under these circumstances. I want to let you know that DWP is not coming here tonight to make excuses or, to try to avoid responsibility for the violations here. We think that your staff has done a fair job in terms of writing this up. We do have a few disagreements, but they're minor in terms of facts here. Having said that, all I can tell you is that the staff that is responsible for applying for the permit is in Los Angeles, in our environmental department. It's a different group of people than the staff up here, boots on the ground, implementing these maintenance projects pursuant to the state board's order. It's no defense if the left hand doesn't know what the right is doing, but in my own analysis, trying to figure out what happened here, that's the best I can come up with. It should not have happened. When your staff tells LADWP that it needs a permit under the Clean Water Act, I have advised that that means that you go and you get the permit before doing the work. And that is very much understood now, that even if we have a disagreement, DWP doesn't have the same legal interpretation as your staff, that you get the permit anyway. You can say, we're going to get the permit, we don't agree with you, but we're going to get it anyway. So I want you to know that that's the legal advice that's been given, and my client is fully accepting that advice and understands it. The second thing that's going to happen from now on is more interface, and it's already occurred, between the environmental staff in Los Angeles that's the permit together and the staff that's boots on the ground responsible for implementing these projects, you know, and with the lawyers involved as well in implementing some training. We had in LA a main break, a famous main break near UCLA. And the result of that is we got an investigative order from the LA Regional Board over the potable water discharge going down to Iona Creek. I was surprised. I'd never in my 30-year career seen that. And good things came about from that, in that we had an office-wide training in terms of what do you do and how is it that that could cause damage? Why do you need to implement BMPs out on the street if it's just drinking water going to a water body? And we went through the exercise of explaining how sediment can move, how oils from the street can end up in the water body. And it was very helpful, I thought, to have people that are out there responding in a time of crisis understand what they need to do and why they need to do it. And so we're going to do the same thing here to make sure that in our haste and enthusiasm of satisfying one set of environmental obligations, that we don't violate and ignore another set, because that's what happened here. This wasn't LADWP out to make a quick buck and violating environmental laws in order to stuff money in its pocket, say like a construction company that doesn't get the proper permits and wants to throw the houses up quickly to make a profit. We were, ironically, trying to do the opposite of what ended up happening. We had a turbidity violation here as a result. In fact, we're trying to, you know, correct the situation out there and make sure that we don't have sediment-type-based violations. So anyway, that's as much of an excuse as we're going to give. It shouldn't happen. And I don't think that that will happen. I do believe that if your staff says, number one, you need a permit, it will be gotten. And number two, that your staff won't have to tell DWP, go get a permit, because it will be talking to its lawyers and environmental staff and understand before your staff has to step in the circumstances under which you need a permit. In terms of the settlement, it's almost $100,000. At the end of the day, because we were starting to spend a lot of time on this together, not that that's a bad thing, but at the end of the day, looking at the various statutes and looking at the set policy, we decided, rather than to continue to find some turnkey project for $47,500, that it would be, the money would be better to go in one lump into the cleanup and abatement fund. And you don't have to meet the nexus requirement of location and nature. It either has to be location for location in terms of the violation and the staff. The farther away you get from the location, the more the nature of the violation has to meet the nature of the set. I don't know if that makes sense. But we have a turbidity violation. So, for example, if we were going to go far afield, if we were going to go geographically far afield, then that stuff would need to be tailored to some type of anti-turbidity work. So you know, became difficult to find something for that amount of money either locally or far away that would suit that. So what I would have to say about that is nonprofits can apply to the cleanup and abatement fund. And they perhaps, if they're geographically distant or they don't have anything to do with turbidity, could apply for $90,000, not $47,500, and possibly get a larger grant to do some work that just wouldn't have the nexus as a step, if that makes sense. So money is still available for good environmental work. It doesn't become unavailable, and it doesn't mean that it can't come back to the jurisdiction. We think it's a fair amount of money. The worst offense was not getting the permit in the left hand, not keeping up with the right, and the work apparently proceeding before the permit was hacked, and not listening to your staff to be dealt with. I think that's really what the money is about. There's just the one, not to discount, but the one turbidity violation. So we do think that the amount is appropriate. I also want to add, which wouldn't be reflected in any of this, LADWP staff now meets regularly with your staff. That's brand new. I don't think there was really much communication at all before. Now it's regular communication. And pending this blank permit for this type of work, which is great, we're going to get that in place. But in the meantime, we have work to be done. So we're sitting down, putting all the cards on the table with your staff, explaining exactly what work needs to be done. And your staff is giving us guidance as to which of these things might not be the permit, and which of these things do in the meantime. So there's no surprise that, oh, we stumble upon LADWP doing work with clean line. That's not going to happen anymore. So I think that's a really good thing that's come of this. So two things not mentioned here would be our internal training and communication, which you know, we will correct, and also continuing to meet and collaborate with your staff. It's a pleasure to do so, and in my experience, every bad thing in life, something good comes out of it. You know, it's not pleasant to come up here with this, but it's us a chance to come up and talk to you, and it's given us a chance to have the relationship that we have now with your staff. I do have Catherine Rubin here. If you have any questions, she's with our environmental staff now. Thank you.
I do have a speaker's card from Ms. Rubin. If there's no objections from the board, we'll have you come up and share.
I think I have her sworn in case you have any questions of her.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions of the board staff? I just had one comment. I think Ms. Lyman described her thoughts on that well, and that's the step. Anytime we have the ability to keep that money local to complete projects here, I think that would certainly be my preference. I think we've seen some good benefits from using the STEP, you know, in our region. They basically funded the salt treatment plan that we will be listening to tomorrow. Just a great use of funding locally. And I guess my question would be to STEP, do you agree with having this go into the state fund rather than kept locally and stuff?
This is Lori Kemper for the prosecution team. And yes, we agree that it's a good use of the money to go to the clinic abatement account. You know, as you said, there are, you know, it would have been nice to put it on the ground here locally. But I think for this amount of money, it is it's a lot of tracking to, you know, sometimes in contracting and those different things, those steps, both responsibilities of LA, Department of Water Power, but also our staff. And we did work very hard with them to try to find some projects and some things that would be acceptable to the department. And, but we also know that it has to be up to them. I mean, they have to agree to it. So, you know, I want the board to know that we understand your preference, you know, and we did, we went out of our way, I think, to come up with a number of ideas. They also provided some ideas, and there was a number of ideas that were explored. So it wasn't without trying, because that was our original intent, to try to find a way to put the money locally. And one thing I can share with the board is that you know, we knew the fire had happened in February, and so we thought that that would be a good, we thought the county would need some money, because at the Angora fire at South Lake Tahoe, there was state emergency funds that were provided for restoration, and in many cases, for the money that the state provided to the local governments, to the city of South Lake Tahoe and El Dorado County, there was a match requirement, and the local governments had to come up with the match, and we thought that Mono County was going to be in the same boat. And we knew they were a small county, and when we reached out to them, we found out that actually the state funded all of their needs, 100% emergency funds. So for replacement of road culverts and to do some erosion control work, so that was not a local need. So that made us feel better. You know, the state has invested some money here locally just recently related to some of the fire. Rehab work, and then as Todd showed us today from the Forest Service, they were able to get federal money to do some work too.
Any questions or comments
having worked with the staff and developing the set policy, you know, we worked really hard to try to make that policy flexible. And so there are words in there like the SEP has to have reasonable nexus, and it has to be reasonably the same type of groups. We put that language in there specifically because this is a very large region, and we understand that that the need for using the money may not fall into the same watershed as where a problem occurred. There's also a fudge factor in the SEP policy, and that's at the state level, that it can exceed 50%. We can ask for it. The 50% limit is the state policy. If we exceed it, there could be some use. The communities on this side of the Sierra are at a disadvantage at the state level, because they are small, and they often, policies written in Sacramento are written in a way that make the communities here uneligible for state funds or state projects. And for that reason, I feel very strongly that that an opportunity should be found to use that money. And again, I say, it doesn't have to be this watershed, it doesn't have to be a turbidity loop, but it's just the needs here are great, and we can't miss an opportunity to do good in these communities. So my preference would be that the parties go back and work harder to try to help these.
I guess my question would be for legal counsel, does that fit the description of a minor change that can be done at the staff level and approved by the NPO, or what would the process be for?
Well, I think the process would have to be that it would have to come back to the board. Because the SEP has to be a specific project, so it's not sufficient for the board to say, we're approving a SEP for this amount. It has to be a specific project with specific deadlines, and so it would have to come back.
But it could be a part of a project. It could be towards a component of developing a salt nutrient management plan. It could be a design phase for a restoration.
Right, but
project.
It has to be a finite project that can be.
But it doesn't have to be soup to nuts project.
Right, it could be a part of something larger, as long as you can identify that, as long as it has a water quality benefit, which feasibility studies have been approved before for other types of sets. So that would be sufficient. The money can't, though, sit around waiting for other money. So it has to have a project that it's going to be identified with.
Or could it be a suite of projects? And there's all sorts of streams that
it could be,
probably use
it could be multiple projects.
And we have a decision before the board to consider the proposed settlement, or based upon the conversation that we just had, refer this back to staff. It
was
a pleasure to
report. Just a comment on my part. Greatly respectful of Dr. Horton's decision. And I also greatly respect all the effort that has gone into the proposed settlement. I would be inclined to go ahead with the proposed settlement and the stipulated order.
Is that a motion, Mr.
Chairman? That is a motion. I'll second the motion.
Mr. Mayor? Kimberly Cox?
Aye.
Dr. Amy Horn?
No.
Peter Pumphrey?
No.
Eric Sandell?
No.
It's split 2-2. I'm sorry, 3-3.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'd like to
I would be willing to change my vote to no.
Good.
Seeing such overwhelming support for myself.
Could I make a
yes,
comment and or perhaps a suggestion? I don't think anyone, I shouldn't speak for other members of the board, so I won't do that. Never mind. Let me back up and say, I don't think anyone sitting in this chair that I'm sitting in has a quarrel with or misgivings about the general nature of the resolution and the particular dollar amount of the resolution. I have to confess that I was quite disappointed when I saw the wording of the agenda item and that the wording of the agenda item did not indicate that. That there was going to be a set as a part of this. It is, as you can tell, it is important to the members of the board, I think, and it's very important to me that that be given as much consideration as it can possibly be given. And my sense is that that there may be people on the advisory team. I understand the separation between the prosecution function and the advisory function, but you may have some ideas about the set as opposed to ideas that would do damage to the general form of the agreement. I certainly was thinking in terms of doing something with respect to the salt nutrient plan, which needs to come forward from these two counties in Yonemono. And I think that that's a valuable project perhaps for the department to consider, because the department is also a user and exporter of groundwater. So it has a stake in the groundwater quality within these two counties. It has a stake in the way in which surface water and, affects groundwater, and may affect its quality. So it makes it more than just a party which is discharging a legal responsibility by agreeing to the SEP. It actually has some degree of benefit to the department itself, at least in my mind, if that could be the case. So I would hope that we could reassure you, I can reassure you, at least for my part, that in voting no, I'm not saying I think this is an inappropriate resolution in all terms, except that I just wonder if there could be any value, and perhaps people who might be involved in this conversation can help me better understand if there would be any value in having some further discussion. Not huge. I understand that the department has sort of the last word in this situation. And I understand that the department needs to have some certainty about what goes on with respect to matters like this, and that it would be easier and more direct to pursue the settlement as presented to us. But I would ask if people think that there would be any value to having a short, focused, further consideration of whether or not the salt nutrient plan component is something that this could apply to, and just perhaps report back to us. And for my mind, the report back to us could be as soon as our next meeting in July. I don't think that there's a big need to administratively litigate this matter. I think we're all simply trying to find something that best suits the needs of the region.
Kurt, might we simply not conclude, continue this item to our next meeting and give that time for whatever might happen and then pick it up again?
Yeah, I mean, we could.
Can I comment?
Please.
Hi, Paul Tigrelli, staff counsel for the regional board. Per chairman, on his comments that there may be a benefit that LEDWP could receive from this study that is in direct contradiction to the supplemental environmental project policy, that they cannot receive any direct financial incentives or any direct benefits from any of the projects that are proposed and or accepted by the board. So I just wanted to bring that into consideration. And as you stated, Mr. Chairman, you know, this ultimately has to be at the concurrence of LEDWP. And if such brief communications are happening before such a project, that would be dependent on both parties agreeing to it. So we could end up where we are today if that such agreement is not made.
I understand that that's a possible outcome. I should also tell you I'm not the chairman. And I should work with it. And my other question is finding a better understanding of the salt nutrient conditions in Inyo and Mono County groundwater, how is that a direct benefit to DWP?
And I would disagree that the set policy says that. It actually says that it can only consist of measures that go above and beyond the otherwise applicable obligations of the discharger. So the discharger can do things for its facilities that actually benefit it, but it just can't be something that's already obligated to do by law. So we've seen projects, for example, where additional alarms, et cetera, are put on wastewater treatment facilities that weren't already required to be there. They just did that because it's above and beyond and extra protection. So it can benefit them. It just can't be something that they're already required to do. And this isn't something that they're required to do at this point.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Mayor, would you please state the voting on this?
There was a motion made by Mr. Jardine, seconded by Dias. Kimberly Cox, aye. Keith Dias, aye. Dr. Amy Horn, no. Don Jardine, aye. Peter Pumphrey, no. Eric Sandel, no.
So it didn't pass.
It didn't pass.
It was 3-3, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it did.
So it doesn't pass.
Denied. Okay.
Yeah.
So with it being denied, then it will go back to staff to bring to us in the July. Otherwise, we would all have to withdraw our votes and defer it, right? To go to that. So,
would that automatically be what would happen, or would it be more appropriate to make a motion to continue this matter to the July meeting for further report from staff?
Yeah, I think that would be the appropriate.
We need to vote on it.
I would make that motion.
I'll second that. Motion and second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Did you want
Hold
to
on.
Say something?
Just one thing, Scott Ferguson. And I was just going to say, on timing, I would rely upon counsel for both the prosecution team and the advisory team. But I would say including a set in the proposal is going to be a substantial change to the settlement agreement and would probably have to be publicly noticed again for another 30 days. But I think we could come back and give you a progress report in July.
And I can consider that during that time period, because
right.
I know it has to go out for a 30-day comment period when it's a Clean Water Act violation.
No.
We've done that. I don't know if the SEP requires an additional comment period. That's something that's state law that 10 days may be appropriate. I'll have to double check. So,
as I said, I rely upon legal counsel for a final determination, but what I wanted to offer up is I think we could be prepared to provide a progress report. I don't know if we'll be able to provide another proposed settlement agreement ready to go, but we could at least say yes or no, or we need a little more time.
I appreciate that, and that's spot on to what I was thinking about.
Thank you.
I just have one clarification. This is Heidi Okamoto. I'm senior staff counsel with the Office of Enforcement. So within the realms, I guess, of the progress report, when we do end up reporting back to, I just want to get clarification to ensure that we may consider the salt nutrient management plan as the step that's ultimately memorialized in the settlement agreement, but I do want to make sure that we can consider other potential projects as well. I heard a mention of maybe the suite of projects or some other projects that may be beneficial as well. Are you seeing that? Thank you.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
I think the importance is that we keep this money in the region for beneficial projects.
So what, if for the official record, what is the motion? Is it to bring it back in July or
the
August?
Motion is to
or just to
continue
it?
This matter to the July meeting for further action by the board.
Okay, so we had a first and a second. Kimberly Cox?
Aye.
Keith Dias?
Aye.
Don Jardine?
Aye.
Eric Sandell?
Aye.
All right, carries.